Welcome to Chapter 5 on First Declension Nouns. One of the handy things for the first declension nouns is that the cases will be translated in the same way that they were for the second declension nouns. So the nominative will be the subject of the sentence once again. The genitive will be translated with the word of. The dative, we can use once again our 8 with a 2x4 or 2x4 at with. And the accusative will usually fit for the object of the sentence. And finally, the vocative will be the form of direct address once again. So the meanings of these cases will be the same in first declension as they were in second declension. So with these additions of the feminine nouns, then we'll have masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns to work with our present active indicative verbs, to be able to construct some sentences with subjects and objects in various variations. One of the real benefits of this chapter is that we get to go over once again the case structure, the nominative, the genitive, the dative, the accusative, and kind of review that and let it simmer into your head once again. The meanings will be exactly the same as they were in Chapter 4, but we'll be able to go back over them now and get another shot at them, only this time with first declension nouns that end in eta and alpha. Well, let's get started. The first declension nouns will be characterized by a schema of endings that work with mostly feminine, eta and alpha ending nouns, as opposed to a second declension schema of endings that were tagged onto the end of nouns that end in an omicron, which were largely masculine and neuter. One of the nice things about the first declension nouns is that the case endings will carry the same meaning as they did in the second declension nouns. Thus, the nominative will often be translated as the subject of the sentence. The genitive will be translated by the word of in its various meanings, as it was in the second declension. The dative, we can use again our 8 with a 2x4 or 2x4 at with to translate the dative. The accusative will largely be the objects of the sentence. And the vocative will be the form of direct address, just as it was in the second declension nouns. This will really be helpful to us because we'll get to go over and review the meanings of the cases. Only this time we'll have some new endings to add on to that, the eta and alpha endings, which will open up the feminine nouns to us. So then we'll have a comprehensive masculine, feminine, and neuter sets of endings that we can work with. Our first endeavor will be with the eta-based first declension nouns, and our example will be graphē, which means writing or scripture. This will be our root paradigm for the first declension nouns. Our first nominative-vocative singular in the first declension noun will be graphē, and it will be translated a writing as the subject of the sentence, or o writing if it's vocative. The genitive singular form is graphēs, and it will be translated of a writing. The dative singular will be graphē. Notice once again in the dative the iota subscript under the eta, and it will be translated with the options 2x4 at with a writing. And the accusative singular will be graphēn, and it will be translated a writing, usually as the object of the sentence or the verb. Two things you should pick up here. You'll notice that the acute in the genitive and dative turn to a circumflex. That's rather normal. The other thing to note is in the dative, once again, you've got the iota subscript. So whenever you see an iota subscript at the end of a noun, start thinking dative. For the nominative vocative plural, we have graphai, which means writings, as the subject of the sentence usually, or o writings as a vocative. The genitive plural is graphon, and it means of writings. And for the dative plural, we have graphais, which means 2x4 at width, writings, for the dative plural. And for the accusative plural, we have graphas, and it means writings, and will be usually taken as the object of the sentence. Notice for the genitive plural, the own ending is used, which is exactly the same as the second declension, both masculine and neuter forms. So whenever you see an own ending on a noun, think genitive plural, whether masculine, feminine, or neuter. Okay, let's chant this ada ending first declension noun, graphai. You'll notice the ace ending indicates the genitive, and the he indicates that it's feminine, meaning writing or scripture. Slowly the first time through, graphai, graphase, graphai, graphane, graphai, graphone, graphais, graphas. And once again, graphai, graphase, graphai, graphane, graphai, graphone, graphais, graphas. And then a third time, all together, graphai, graphase, graphai, graphane, graphai, graphone, graphais, graphas. We'll be adding this chant on graphai to our second declension chants with logos and the neuter form hieron. The first declension nouns come in an ada ending, and they also come in an alpha ending. So here is a paradigm for the alpha-ending first declension nouns using hora, which means hour, has the genitive form as, and takes the article he, which shows that it's feminine. So here is a paradigm of an alpha-ending first declension noun. Hora means hour, and it's used for the subject of a sentence in the nominative, or o hour when it's used as the vocative. The genitive singular is horas, and it means of an hour. The dative singular is hora. Notice the little iota subscript under the alpha, and it can be translated 2x4 with at an hour. The accusative singular is horan, and it means hour as the object of the sentence. The nominative vocative plural is horai, and it means hours as the subject of the sentence, or o hours as the vocative. The genitive plural is horon, and it means of ours. The dative plural is horais, and it means 2x4 with at ours. The nominative plural is horas, usually translated as the object of the sentence, and it means ours. Something to note well here, notice the genitive singular is horas, and the accusative plural is also horas, exactly the same form. So when you see the genitive singular or the plural accusative, you've got to be very aware of the context to distinguish whether it's a genitive singular or an accusative plural. Now for this hora form, you'll notice in comparison to the graphe form that largely the plural is exactly the same, but the singular, the alpha, kind of dominates on the way down from the genitive, dative, accusative forms, whereas the graphe form favors the eta and the singulars. And so just be aware of the differences here. Don't necessarily memorize this hora form. We'll learn to chant the graphe form. Just be aware of the differences and the variations that occur. The plurals are all the same, so that's easy enough. Here's a little variation in the first declension alpha ending nouns, indoxa, which means glory or fame. And you'll notice in the genitive singular and dative, it goes back to the eta form of the graphe form. So just a little variation. Don't memorize this form, but just be aware of the variations. So the forms are doxa, which means glory in the nominative, doxes, which is of glory in the genitive. Notice the return to the eta form. Doxe, which means 2x4 with that glory. Notice again the dative form there, but it still retains the iota subscript. Doxon, the accusative form, meaning glory. And then the plural forms are exactly the same as hora and graphe. Doxai, meaning glories in the nominative vocative. Doxon, meaning of glories. Doxais, meaning 2x4 with at glories. And doxos, meaning glories in the accusative plural. You'll notice now that doxes, the genitive singular, is differentiated from doxos, the accusative plural. So that helps us a little bit. Now you notice in the genitive singular and dative singular, there's a little dance back to the eta, like graphes, away from the horas form that we learned earlier. So just be aware that in the genitive and dative singulars, this eta may pop up in certain alpha-ending first declension nouns. You don't need to really master this form, but just be aware of the variations. But you're flexible. You can handle it. Now, the first declension nouns are characteristically feminine, but occasionally you'll have an eta-ending masculine form that takes the first declension noun endings. So just be able to recognize it. It only affects one form, where the genitive singular reverts to an u, which is similar to the lagu from the second declension, so it's not a big surprise. So prophetes is an u in the genitive, and it's a ha, telling you that it's a masculine for prophet. Don't memorize this form, but just be aware that the genitive reverts to a second declension genitive u, rather than the ace of graphes. So here's prophetes, u, ha, meaning prophet. The nominative singular is prophetes. Genitive singular is prophetu. Notice the u ending reverting to a lagu, kind of second declension, u ending on the genitive. The dative singular is prophete, and the accusative singular is prophetein. So basically it's just like graphe, except in the genitive singular with the u. The plural forms are exactly the same as graphe. So we have prophetai for the nominative vocative. The genitive plural is prophetone, the dative plural is prophetais, and the accusative plural is prophetas. So these endings are exactly the same as graphe. No surprises here. Just a little variation with the first declension masculine noun in the genitive singular reverting to a second declension type of u ending for that genitive. prophetes, masculine, first declension noun, mathetes, meaning disciple, also of the same type of category. One other thing that might be of interest is notice on the nominative plural, the eida has a circumflex over it rather than the normal acute. Do you know the reason? I hope so. I is a diphthong that goes short when it's at the end of a word. Therefore, you have a short final vowel with a penult that's long. Therefore, it must be a circumflex, not an acute. And so you see the shift there. No big deal. Just be aware of the genitive singular, and you got it. Let's do a comparative look now at the first declension paradigms with the eta ending, the alpha ending, as in hora, and the alpha ending as in doxa, and compare and just see where the variations occur. The only one that we're going to learn to chant is graphe, and we'll just be able to recognize the variations in the others. So let's first just chant through graphe. Graphe, graphes, graphe, graphane, graphi, graphone, graphice, graphas. Looking at hora, especially in the singular, you see that it keeps the alpha form throughout the singular. So it's hora, horas, hora, horan. The plural has the same endings that are found in graphi. So it's horai, horon, horais, horas. The endings are the same as graphi, graphone, graphais, graphas. So the only place of variation is in the singular. It holds the alpha strong all the way through the singular form endings. Doxa is an alpha ending first declension noun, and it does a little dance in the genitive and dative singular where it reverts to an ace, similar to graphes, away from the hora form. So it's doxa, doxes, doxe, and then it comes back to an alpha in the accusative, doxon. The plural, you'll notice, has exactly the same endings as the other two. So once you get the plural endings down for graphe, it does triple duty for all three. So it's doxai, doxon, doxais, doxas. So just keep your eye on the genitive and dative forms where it bounces over to an eta and then comes back to the alpha. Now you may ask, how do I know whether it's a hora type alpha first declension noun or a doxa first declension noun? Well, if you look at the base form in the lexicon, you'll see that hora is followed by the genitive as ending before it gives you the he article for the feminine. So the genitive is included there, so doxa has the ace ending, and therefore you know it does a little jig with the eta there. So that's how you tell the lexical form includes the genitive, which gives you a tip-off of which paradigm will be used. You'll notice the little oo in the genitive singular has popped out there, and that's to remind us that there are prophetes type forms where you have the masculine first declension nouns that take the oo, similar to the second declension genitive singular, logu, type form, but the rest of the prophetes paradigm is similar to the graphes. So, no big deal, just remember the genitive singular reverts to an oo form. Again, how will you know? You'll look in the lexicon, and the lexicon next to the prophetes form will give you a hint that it's masculine from the article where it'll say ha instead of hey. And so you'll know it's a masculine. It'll also provide you the genitive ending, oo, so that you'll know that this is a prophetes type of noun. Let's just do a quick review of the case structure that'll work the same in both the first declension, second declension, and even the third declension. The nominative is generally taken as the subject of the sentence, but we must remember that there are also predicate nominatives with existential verbs of being and becoming. So, it is I is correct and it is me is incorrect. The appositional usage has the heaping up of nominatives, so it's Paul, a servant, an apostle, all in the nominative, where the nominative specifies and clarifies the initial nominative noun. The genitive is usually translated of, and it can be used for possession, descriptive, relationship, or quality. The house of Mary being possessive, and then the son of Mary describing relationship. The dative is our 8 with a 2x4 or 2x at 4 with type of case. It's generally used for the indirect object, can also specify location, agency, or instrumentality, can even be translated in. And as we said before, the dative case will die out, being replaced in modern times by nouns with prepositions, like in. The accusative is generally taken as the object of the verb. It's a case of limitation, and often limits in terms of quantity. Some verbs take a double accusative. And as we move toward the end of the course, we'll see that sometimes the accusative form can be used as the subject of the infinitive. The vocative is the form of direct address, O Lord, but it's very rare, and its forms will oftentimes match those of the nominative. These are the 5 cases in Greek. In terms of their meaning, we've also learned the way that they're formed in terms of their morphology, and the workbook will allow you to practice how they actually work within sentences. All right, now we're ready for our second big chant. Our first chant was the present active indicative verb, luo, lues, etc., and now we're ready for the second declension masculine, first declension feminine, and second declension neuter chant. The second declension masculine will be our logos, our first declension feminine form will be graphe, and our second declension neuter will be our hieron. The second declension masculine using logos. Lagos, lagu, lago, lagan. Lagoi, lagon, lagois, lagus. The first declension feminine using graphe. Graphe, graphes, graphe, graphane. Graphai, graphone, graphais, graphas. And now back to the second declension, the neuter, hieron. Hieron, hieru, hiero, hieron. Hiera, hieron, hierois, hiera. Congratulations! That will get us a plethora of nouns, masculine, feminine, and neuter, that we can now work out with our present active indicative verb. So let's just try this as one big chant through. Lagos, lagu, lago, lagan, lagoi, lagon, lagois, lagus. Graphe, graphes, graphe, graphane, graphai, graphone, graphais, graphas. Hieron, hieru, hiero, hieron. Hiera, hieron, hierois, hiera. Here are 4 hints that'll help you with these declensions. The second declension, both masculine and neuter, always have the same case endings in the genitive and dative, both in the singular and in the plural. And this is always true. The U and O in the masculine second declension is matched by the U and O in the neuter second declension. The own and ois plural for the masculine are matched by the own and ois in the plural neuter. So the genitive and dative are the same in the masculine and the neuter for the second declension. For the dative singular, you'll always have an iota subscript. So whenever you see the iota subscript at the end of a noun, start thinking dative singular. The genitive plural always carries an own as its last letters. So whenever you see an own at the end of a noun, think genitive plural. This is true in both the second declension masculine, neuter, and also for the first declension, genitive plural as well. In the first declension, with the alpha-ending nouns of the hora type, we have os, which can either be a genitive singular or an accusative plural. Many times the definite article will distinguish, the singular being tais and the plural being tas. Sometimes you won't have the article, and so you'll have to use the context to try to distinguish whether it's a singular genitive or whether it's an accusative plural. One other commonality is seen in the second declension neuter nominative and accusative forms, which are exactly the same. In the singular, the hetairon matches the hetairon as the accusative, and also the plural nominative and accusative are exactly the same as well, hetaira. So that helps simplify things as far as the morphology goes, but I'm afraid it'll work against us when we get into the actual syntax and start reading sentences. You won't sometimes be able to determine by the form whether it's a subject of the sentence or whether it's the object of the sentence. The article is extremely important. Oftentimes, when you can't recognize the ending on a noun, the article will be there to bail you out and tell you what the declension form is, whether it's a genitive, dative, accusative, or nominative. So keep track of the articles. They'll be your friends as you read the text. Logos means word or a word in the nominative singular masculine. Ha logos is usually translated the word because it has the article ha. Logon means word or a word in the accusative masculine singular. Tan logon is translated the word. The tan, definite article, is matched with the accusative singular masculine logon. The article then matches the noun that it goes with in gender, number, and case. The article can also be used as a pronoun and as a nominalizer, and sometimes it's not translated at all, like especially when it comes with proper nouns like the Jesus becoming Jesus, or abstracts where the grace becomes grace. So sometimes it's not translated. The article has many different functions, which you can explore in second year Greek. Here is the morphology or the forms that are used by the article. It follows a 2-1-2 pattern. Second declension masculine, first declension feminine, second declension neuter. Here are the forms for the singular. The forms for the second declension masculine are ha, tu, to, tan. Now you see the u, o, an endings are the same as on logos for the genitive dative accusative. The ho is the nominative vocative form. So you just got to remember that the tau goes on the front of the genitive dative accusative. The first declension feminine article is hey, tais, te, tain. And so you see the ace, a, ain ending is the same as on graphes, graphe, graphain for the genitive dative accusative. Just got to remember that the tau pops on the front of those. The nominative form is hey. The second declension neuter article is ta, tu, to, ta. You'll notice the tu and the to for the genitive and dative are exactly the same as the masculine genitive and dative, as we'd expect. Notice then that the nominative vocative ta matches the accusative ta. And that, again, with the neuter, that's what we'd expect. The nominative vocative and the accusative are the same. So the endings of the article are recognized because we know the second declension logos, we know the first declension graphe, and we know the second declension neuter hieron, and the endings are very similar. You'll notice, however, the nominative vocative and accusative in the neuter is different than the hieron ending. It's just flat ta. So just be aware of that little difference. The nun is dropped off on the nominative vocative and the accusative in the neuter. So the article is very handy. If you get caught short on knowing how to decline a noun, you can possibly pick up the declension by checking out the article that matches it. So the articles will be our friends as we read. Now for the plural forms of the article. Again, there's a 2-1-2 format, the second declension masculine, followed by the first declension feminine, followed again by the second declension neuter. The second masculine plural forms are hoi, ton, tois, tous. And so you see for the genitive, dative, accusative, those are the same endings as the plural forms of logos. Just got to remember to pop the tau on the front. Notice also the nominative vocative is a simple hoi. For the first declension feminine article, we have hi, ton, tais, tas. And you recognize those endings from graphe are the plural endings for the genitive, dative, accusative. Just got to remember again to pop the tau on the front, and the nominative vocative is alone hi. The second declension neuter article is ta, ton, tois, ta. Once again, you see the ton, tois, the genitive and dative of the neuter matches exactly the genitive and dative of the masculine. Similarly, the nominative form and the accusative form in the plural are exactly the same in the neuter. They're both ta. Again, I don't push the memorization of the definite article, but just be aware of how to deduce them and recognize them, deducing them from the endings of the logos, graphe, and hieron forms that you memorize in the chant. Also be aware of the ho, hey, and hoi, hi nominative forms for the singular and plural, and be aware that they don't take the tau, but the rest of them do. So you'll see enough of these forms that you will just recognize them instantly after a while. They will be our friends for reading. So just focus for now on the 2-1-2 chant, and these will follow naturally. All right, now we're ready for the fifth chapter, vocabulary. Our first word is agape, and it means love. Our second word is aletheia, and it means truth. Our third word is hamartia, and it means sin. Our fourth word is basileia, and it means kingdom. Our fifth word is graphe, and it means a writing or scripture. Our sixth word is agero, and it means I raise up. Our seventh word is ekklesia, and it means assembly or church.
Our eighth word is ergon, and it means work.
Our ninth word is mathetes, and it means disciple. And our tenth word, hora, which means hour.